Hi, I'm Ben Trefney, news director here at KALW, and I want to invite you to become a member of KALW. We are 70% listener supported, so as you listen to this piece from our newsroom, please make sure to go to the Donate Now button at KALW.org. Thanks.
KALW.
This is Cross Current News. I'm Hanat Baba. This school year comes with a lot of changes because of the pandemic. But for freshmen entering Cal State universities, they have a new graduation requirement. Governor Gavin Newsom recently signed a bill mandating that freshmen entering the 2020-2021 academic year must take an ethnic studies course. California is the first state in the country to have an ethnic studies mandate. And this comes a little more than 50 years after San Francisco State became the first school to have an ethnic studies program in the nation. KALW's East Oakland reporter Janae Darden graduated with a degree in ethnic studies, and she tells us why she chose that major and how it's shaped her life in this story from our series, Bay Views.
There is no question that we cannot begin to even deal with people that we don't know. And most of the information that we have about each other is misinformation.
Assemblymember Shirley Weber from San Diego wrote AB 1460, the bill that made ethnic studies a requisite for California state universities. Before being elected, Weber taught Africana studies for 38 years at San Diego State University. She shares with San Diego Station KUSI what she saw in students who took ethnic studies courses.
When I've seen young people at the university who really have either taken my courses or other courses in ethnic studies, it changes them. It makes them more appreciative of the people that they see every day, more understanding of how we bring change. And they become, as I see my students all across the nation, they are different professionals, whether they're Black, white, Asian, whatever they may be, they are different professionals because they have a different appreciation.
Assemblymember Weber is right about how ethnic studies changes students, because it changed me. Let's go back to the summer of 1997 when I was a first-year student at UC San Diego. That campus is north of Weber's San Diego State. Most of the other students wouldn't arrive to campus until September, but I was at UCSD's Summer Bridge. The program is for students of color. Many are the first in their families to go to college, and this program was meant to help us prepare and adjust to college life. We took math and science classes, but what hooked me were the classes on racial inequalities. I knew racism existed and was a hindrance to Black people and other people of color, but these classes really broke down how these obstacles were systemic and intertwined. I first learned about the concept of white privilege at Summer Bridge. We read the article White Privilege, Unpacking the Invisible Knapsack by Peggy McIntosh. She writes that just like men not recognizing their gender privilege, white people don't recognize their racial privilege. For instance, white parents don't have to give their kids the talk my mother gave me when I was a teen about being careful how I interact with police and not driving in areas that aren't diverse after dark. The courses enlightened me on how racial oppression affects how we see ourselves. Sociologist Ricardo Stanton Salazar gave a lecture on the power of mentorship and representation. He explained that for youth, seeing adults who look like them in certain positions can affect what they envision for themselves in the future. For instance, if I grew up around entrepreneurs, lawyers, college graduates, then that's something I know I can aspire to be. But if the adults in my life are incarcerated, living in poverty with little education, well, then I may believe those are my only options in life. And this made total sense when I thought about how some of the Black and brown kids I grew up with in East Oakland didn't have big aspirations. I come from a working class neighborhood, and I witnessed what systemic oppression does to people, myself included. I wanted to learn more, but ethnic studies didn't seem like something you should major in. Ethnic studies is interdisciplinary studies on race, racism, and ethnicity, with a focus on people of color. And it looks at how race affects class, gender, sexuality, disability, etc. Ethnic studies doesn't directly correlate to a career like pre-med or pre-law, so I wrestled with declaring it as a major. I changed my major 3 times. I started off psych, then sociology, then human development, but those classes didn't move me like ethnic studies. My peer counselor, an ethnic studies major, encouraged me to take the plunge, and I'm so happy I did. I learned about some deep stuff from the past, like the Japanese internment camps. And I learned about intersectional issues today, such as the dangers Mexican women in particular face when crossing the border. This is stuff that should be taught in middle and high schools because it's part of the country's history and present. And like Weber says, knowing this information gave me greater appreciation and compassion for people I interact with. I found liberation in classes about the history of Black female identity, sexuality, and how Black bodies are racialized. I found joy in ethnic studies. It opened my world to magical realism in Latin American literature and Afrofuturism, expanding my awareness of art forms by other ethnic groups. Now, some people in my life supported me majoring in ethnic studies at that time, but plenty of people asked, what are you gonna do with that? Well, 20 years later, I'll tell you. As a journalist, I interact with people from all sorts of backgrounds, and depending on the story, it helps to have some understanding of a source's culture when I engage with them. And people appreciate when you know about their culture. It shows that you see them and their humanity. One of the white privileges that Peggy McIntosh mentioned in her article is white people being widely represented in the news. And I'm mindful about having as many different voices as I can when doing a story or hosting our art segment, Sights and Sounds. I try and think about whose voices or experiences have been left out. And that includes race, age, gender, disability, and so on. And ethnic studies can be applied to other professions. One of my classmates went on to become a doctor, and our major made him more culturally competent when treating his patients and more aware of racist medical practices. I also majored with future teachers who are not only equipped with teaching diverse students, but also developing culturally inclusive curriculums so kids have a broader knowledge of the humanities and social sciences. Much of the chaos that's happening in this country right now is caused by ignorance and lack of empathy that's rooted in not knowing about and valuing each other's cultures. Sadly, this doesn't surprise me. I recall my professor saying over 20 years ago that if wealth disparities keep growing and we as a country don't fully address racism, we're in trouble. And here we are. I had classmates, some white and some students of color, who stormed out of lecture halls because they thought the ethnic studies classes were anti-white. From K through 12, they were taught to see the world through rose-tinted colonial glasses, and those courses shattered that lens and their concept of reality. If more of us learned about the truth of this country's past, recognized how it continues to oppress people in the present, and did the work to really repair hundreds of years of damage, maybe then this country would be in a better state. Now that even more students will be taking ethnic studies courses in California because of this bill, hopefully they can take the information they learn and make some positive and much needed changes to our society. In Oakland, I'm Janae Darden for Cross Currents.
Janae is KALW's East Oakland reporter. You can find more of her stories at KALW.org.